We're so thankful to have everybody on the call tonight. I'm excited to introduce our speaker for tonight, and the person, Brother Eddie Ty Sr. He assists with Brother Larry Bishop there at the Nathan S. Street Congregation. He preaches there from time to time as well. I'm excited to have him on our call. And Brother Ty is going to talk to us tonight from the topic, The One Church, from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 19. So at this time, Brother Eddie.
Like I said, good evening to you this afternoon. Of course, as Brother Brooks have already told you, my name is Brother Eddie Ty, and I obeyed the gospel on September 7th in 2003. And ever since then, I've been a faithful member of the blood-bought Church of Christ. I would like to welcome you tonight to our 9 o'clock nationwide gospel call. And first of all, I just want to thank Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity to come and proclaim the gospel of Christ. I would like to thank him for allowing me an opportunity to become part of the blood-bought church, which he died for out there on Calvary. I thank God for that. Good evening and welcome to our 9 o'clock nationwide gospel call. For those of you who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ, this message tonight is meant for you. For those of you who are members of another church, other than the one that you can read about in the Bible, this lesson is meant for you. For those of you tonight who have fallen away from the one true church, this lesson tonight is meant for you, that you will come back to the church before it's everlasting too late. It is my sincere prayer that someone, somewhere, will hear the message, search the scriptures, and ask that most noble question, what must I do to be saved? With that being said, I'd like for you to please get your Bibles, because we will be going to Matthew chapter 16, which, as Brother Brooks has spoken, Matthew chapter 16 and verses number 13 through 19. Matthew chapter 16 and the verses 13 through 19. I do hope that you have your Bibles with you, because you never go without your weapon. Your weapon becomes your power. So in Matthew chapter 16 and the verses number, starting with verses 13 through 19, in verses 13, the Bible reads, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then Jesus asked a second question to them. He said to them, Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or the Hades, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth," in other words, whatsoever thou shalt permit or allow on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I'd like to talk to you tonight from this subject, the one church, the one church. And the two verses tonight that I really want to focus on is verses number 18 and verses number 19. In verses number 18, it says, I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And notice here that when Jesus is talking, the number of churches that he would say he would build, he said my church would represent one church that he was building. And he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, what is the church anyway? The church is not a building as we sometimes think it is. The church is a body of people that has been called out. Then how are they called? I'd like for you to turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Thessalonians. And the chapter, 2 Thessalonians tonight. And the chapter is 2. And the verse is number 14. Thessalonians 2. And the verse is number 14. And you find these words. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory and Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to remember that verse, because so many times, my friend, my brother, sister, my friend, so many times we've heard people say that they were called in the midnight hour, or God called them while they were in a jailhouse, or God called them some other way. God calls only one way, and that's through his gospel. If God called us any other way other than the gospel, that would be confusion. And one thing about God is not the author of confusion. Another thing we got to remember is that when God calls us, he calls us through his gospel, and he also calls us to do what he says to do. And so then when God calls, he's not going to call you other than the one way, which is through the gospel, which we preach. Before we go any further into this lesson tonight, in our today's world, we have men and women, that's right, I said men and women, standing in the pulpit across the country and teaching whatever they want to teach, as long as what the congregation wants to hear and what makes them feel good. We have those that are teaching and that any church would do, because they say we are all serving the same God. Then if we all serving the same God, why is it that they are not in the Church of Christ? We have those that are saying you don't have to go to any church so long as your heart is right. It is true, my brothers and sisters, that our heart does need to be right. But in the process of our heart being right, if your heart is right, then you're going to do what God says do. We have those that are saying that you don't even have to go to church. You can sit in the comfort of your own home, turn on your TV set, and watch whatever is being played on the spiritual channel, whatever channel they watch, and just obey what they say do, and you're going to be all right. Then there are those that are saying that because we preach one church, we have been brainwashed, hypnotized, and even crazy to think that out of all the churches in the world, that Jesus would pick just one. Well, my brothers and sisters, I stop by to tell you tonight that he has picked just one. What is the one church? The Church of Christ is a divine institution. Please permit me tonight to give you a little something to sleep on. God the Father had in mind in creation that he would have to send his son to the cross to die for the sins of the world. God the Father already knew that man was sin in the garden before he ever created him. God already knew what the serpent would say to Eve in the garden. God already knew what Adam was going to say when asked by God where he was. And how did he know that he was naked? God already knew what the answer would be coming from Adam. Just like God knew those things, he also knew about his son's church, when, where, and how it would be established. Please permit me tonight, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 1, because you see, Zechariah chapter 1 in the verses number 16. Zechariah in chapter 1 in the verses 16, he says that, therefore, thus said the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it. Notice here he says he uses the word it, and it is singular. He says, said the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. What is that line he's talking about? He's talking about in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached his first gospel in Jerusalem, where the gospel went out from Jerusalem. Look at, if you would, look at Daniel chapter 2 in the verses number 44. You see, God, in his mercy and his glory, God already knew that his son was going to build a church. In Daniel chapter 2, in the verses 44, the Bible says, and in the days of these kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom? Notice here, he says kingdom and not kingdoms. It's not plural, it's singular. He's talking about the setting up of the Church of Christ, which shall never be destroyed. He said, and the kingdom, one kingdom, shall not be left to other people, but it, talking about the church, it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it, notice here once again, he uses the word it, because of what he's talking about, the church, but the word church is hidden. It has not been shown. If the hurt church will not come forward unto Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, and start with verses number 8 to 16, when Peter, he gave Peter the keys to the church. What is the keys that Peter, he's talking about here? The keys to the church is the gospel. The only way to get into God's church is through his gospel and the obedience to the gospel. Look at it, if you would, turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 2. You see, God has already in Isaiah chapter 2. God here in Isaiah chapter 2, he talked about, he began once again to talk about his son's church. In Isaiah chapter 2, turn there with me tonight. And I do hope tonight that you brought your pencil and your paper, because some of these verses you might have in Isaiah chapter 2, in the verses number 2. Watch this. Watch how Isaiah talked about the church. He said, it shall come to pass in the last day that the mouth of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hill, and all nations shall float unto it. And he's talking about what happened in Acts chapter 2, when the Bible talks about that there were devout Jews from all nations. And where did they come to? They came to Jerusalem. And if you would, tonight, look at Psalm, the 127th number of Psalms tonight. In the 127th number of Psalms, in verses number 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house. Once again, the word is singular. They labor in vain that build it. Once again, the word it is there. Why? Because the church, the word church is hidden. Hidden in the bosom of God, because he's not ready to reveal. My brothers and sisters, let us remember that the Old Testament concealed is the old New Testament revealed. Those things that are concealed in the Old Testament will be revealed in the New Testament. Christ's church is concealed in the Old Testament. He does not use the word church. He used the word it, which simplifies the church. Look at Michael chapter 4 and the verses number 1 and 2. In Michael chapter 4 and the verses number 1 and 2. Look at it. Let's turn your Bible to Michael chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Look what Michael says about the church. But in the last day, it, talking about the church that's hidden in the bosom of God. He's not going to say church. He said it. But in the last day, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain. And it, notice again the word singular, because he's only talking about one church, the true church, the one that Christ built. He said, and it shall be exalted above the hill, and people shall flow unto it. Referring back to Acts chapter 2, when the devout Jews from all nations came to Jerusalem to hear the first sermon that was being preached by Peter. My brothers and sisters, don't you see throughout the Bible, in all Old Testament, God allowed his prophets to prophesy the coming of the church. However, now let's turn your Bible to the New Testament, and let's look at the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4. Go there with me tonight. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses number 4. In Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses number 4, it says that there is what? One body, one faith, one baptism, one God. Verse number 6 says, let's go back. Verse number 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verses number 6 says, one God and one Father, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Well, one body. What is that body? Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. The Bible says, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. What is that? But look at verses number 23. What is that church? He says, which is what? His body, the fullness of him that fulfilleth all in all. What is that one church? The church is the body. You cannot preach Christ unless you preach his church. You cannot preach the church unless you preach his body. They're all one. They're both one. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and the verses number 12 and the verse Ephesians chapter 5. In the verse of number 22, Ephesians 5 and 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even, watch this now, even as Christ is the head of the church. Notice here, he did not say churches. You say, well, Brother Ty, he meant any church. He meant churches. Well, don't you think God, all knowing, that knows all, don't you think he knows the difference between church is and church? Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Whoever love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church. How many did he love? He loved the church. One church. And gave himself for who? For how many did he give himself for? It says that he gave himself for it, which means that he gave himself for one church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, which is washed under the water by the word, that he might present it, talking about the church, singular, once again, is still singular, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it, once again, is singular, be holy and without blemish. So all men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Look at verses number 32. Drop down to verse number 32, and let's see what he's talking about here. He says in verses 32, he said, this is a great mystery. But I ain't talking about the church. I ain't talking about the husband and his wife. I'm talking about the church. Christ and the church. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. He said, I'm not talking about the husband and his wife. I'm talking about the Christ and his church. My brothers and sisters, don't you see? Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses number 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4. When we go back and we look at Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the one body and the one baptism. And it talks about the one body in Ephesians chapter 1. He talks about what the body was. He said the body is the church. In other words, and also the church is the body. You cannot speak Christ. You cannot preach Christ unless you preach the church also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in the verses number 12 and 13. In 1 Corinthians, go there with me tonight. I told you you're going to need some pencil and paper tonight. So we're going to go through some scripture tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at 12 and 13, verses 12 and 13. Now remember now that in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about that the church, that there is one body. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verses number 22, he told you what that body was. He said that that was the church. So therefore, anywhere that you see the word body, let's put the word church there. In Ephesians chapter 12, in verse number 12, he said, for as the body, let's put the church there, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one church, being many, are one body, are one church, so also is Christ. Look at 13. For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one church, knows that what we're doing here is we omit the word body and putting church there because they're both the same. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there is one body. Then it turned around in Ephesians chapter 1 and said that there is one body, and the body is the church. So in Ephesians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 13 says, "For by one spirit are we all baptized into one church, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit." Now drop down to verses number 18 and 20. Drop down to verses number 18 and 20. And you'll find these words. "But now has God set members, every one of them, in the church, and it has pleased him." Look at verse 13, verses number 19. "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But look at verse 20. But now are they many members, yet but how many churches? But one body," which is the church. He says, "Yes, but one church." Don't you see the correlation there, that between the church, there is but one church? My brothers and sisters, what the church is, or what the one body is not resolved by what does the church of Christ teach, or what does the body believe, nor what does those that have been called out believe, but rather, what does the scripture teach? That divine source of authority which identifies the one church. In other words, that authority is we speak where the Bible speaks, and we are silent where the Bible is silent. The one church is not a moral institution. Rather, it is a divine institution because it belongs to Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, which was read in your hearing. God began to talk about a divine institution around 600 years before Christ came into the world. The church is not a place where all the high society come and lay down the big money and lead going back to being the same high mind that they were before they came, without ever knowing what the gospel of Christ is. In other words, it is not a place of loud mechanical music, dancing, or division. Then what is the church? The church is composed or made up of those called out from a world of sin, saved by the blood of the Son of God. The word church itself means the call out. All who have been called out the world of sin constitutes the church, have been called into God's service. The church of Christ is a divine institution because it belongs to Christ. He established and bought it with his own blood out there on Calvary. He called out you and I, which is his church, through his blood, have a platform of unity in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses number 4 and 6 through 6. Christian affirm one God, that's unity in worship. There is one Lord, that's unity in authority. There is one faith, that's unity in practice. There is one body, that's unity in organization. There is one hope, that's unity in plan and desire. There is one spirit, that's unity in life, and unity in revelation. My brothers and sisters, God the Father gave his life out there on Calvary when he bled and gave up his ghost. They pierced him in the side. Two things came out, blood and water. Blood bought his church. Water for remission of sin. The gospel is simply good news in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the verses number 1 through 4. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. The only thing you have to do is you have to believe it, which is in Romans chapter 10, in verses number 17. The first thing you have to do is hear it, in Romans chapter 10, in verses 17. The next thing you have to believe it, and that's in Mark 1, in verses number 15. The next thing, you have to repent. Acts chapter 17 and verses number 30. Then you have to confess Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10 in verses 32 and 33. And be baptized for remission of sin in Acts 2 and verses number 38. You have to do the exact same thing that Jesus did when he hung on the cross. Jesus died, we too must die. He was buried, we too must be buried. But our burial becomes in the water of river baptism. Jesus went down into the lonely grave, and he got up the third day with all power in his hand. My brothers and sisters, don't you see we rise up as new creatures in Christ? That's the gospel tonight. You can obey it. The only thing that's standing between you and obedience is you yourself. So with that being said, I'll turn you back in the hands of Brother Brooks.